reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 9, entitled Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy, Text 41. Putena tapasa yajne Dane yoga samadina Radhan nishaya sampuncha Matritisattva-vinmata Bhutena. By traditional good work. Tapasa. By penances. Yajna. By sacrifice. Danai. By charities. Yoga. By mysticism. Samadhina. By trance. Radha. Success. Nishreyasam. Ultimately beneficial. Pumsa. Of the human being. Ma. Of me. Vritti. Satisfaction. Tatvavid, expert transcendentalist. Madam, opinion. Translation. It is the opinion of expert transcendentalists that the ultimate goal of performing all traditional good works, penances, sacrifices, charities, mystic activities, trances, etc., is to invoke my satisfaction. Purport. There are many traditionally pious activities in human society, such as altruism, philanthropy, nationalism, internationalism, charity, sacrifice, penance, and even meditation and trance, and all of them can be fully beneficial only when they lead to the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The perfection of any activity, social, political, religious, or philanthropic, is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. This secret of success is known to the devotee of the Lord, as exemplified by Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. As a good, non-violent man, Arjuna did not want to fight with his kinsmen. But when he understood that Krishna wanted the fight and had arranged it at Kurukshetra, he gave up his own satisfaction and fought for the satisfaction of the Lord. That is the right position for all intelligent men. One's only concern should be to satisfy the Lord by one's activities. If the Lord is satisfied by an action, whatever it may be, then it is successful. Otherwise, it's simply a waste of time. That is the standard of all sacrifice, penance, austerity, mystic trance, and other good and pious work. Om Ajnana Kimanandasya Gyanandana Salakayama Chakshudan Vitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Shri Chaitanya Yavavishta Stapitam Deinam Udaye Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Naratri Swapadankitam Vande Vam Shri Guru Shri Yudha Padamana Shri Guru Vaisamamsya Shri Rupam Sarajatam Sahajanatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadhyam Sadhyam Prithanatayam Vishnantitanyadevam Sridhana Krishna Vanam Sahagana Namita Sridhanatayam He Krishna Karunasindho Dhinabandho Janakate Govesa Govita Tattakasarvami Rameyendavaneswari Visavanusnele Pramanamani Haritiye Charities, mystic activities, trances, etc., is to invoke my satisfaction. This is the duty of every living being. Because every living being is in this world, either in the spiritual world or in the material world, is duty bound. Never is there a time when we are free from duty. At any point in time, there is a prescribed duty to perform for the living being. Specifically, in the human form of life, we become aware of this duty. In the lower species, this duty is forgotten. But in the human form of life, we can be reminded of this duty. Therefore, there is no question that one can simply, according to one's own whims, decide what to do with one's life. But rather, we are meant for only one purpose, to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord Himself is independent. Natasya karyam karanam chavijate parasya shakti vividaya suyate. The Supreme Lord, He has no work to perform. Rather, He can simply do whatever He likes, and He manifests His energies, and in this way everything is going on without Him being involved. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is always independent, but all others are dependent. Ikleswa or Savabritya, Yareya Chanaitya, Taraka Chanitya. There is one Ishvara, and all the others are His dependents, and all are simply dancing according to His will, just like puppets, marionettes dancing. So this is our position. One has to dance according to the will of the Supreme Lord. Lord Rama, he did so. Lord Rama became fully dedicated to being the servant of the Supreme Lord. And in this way, Lord Rama performed the activity that the Lord desired him to perform. The Lord had revealed it, tapa. So Lord Brahma in that way became purified. Of course, Lord Brahma anyway is a unique living being. He is known as Swayambhu, the one who is self-existent, so it is translated, Swayambhu, who appears on the lotus without a father and mother, appears from the Supreme Lord. So Lord Brahma is the living being who has the most wonderful facilities of all living beings within this material world. But still, Lord Brahma also falls short. Still, Lord Brahma also has his limitations. And still, Lord Brahma is also prone to become overwhelmed by the material energy. Tena Brahma. Tene Brahma Yadikavya Yankiya Surya Teju Vadivam Yatami Mayu Yatati Sarganisa Dam Sveya Sadar Yasaku Kam Satyam Paramti Mahi. It is described that even the suras, even the demigods, become influenced by the illusory energy. So even Lord Brahma has to deal with the material energy. Therefore, Ksurasya Dara, even for Lord Brahma, spiritual life is a razor's edge. Even for Lord Brahma, one moment of inattention and he may fall prey to the illusory energy. But Lord Brahma is very conscious of his position as the servant of the Supreme Lord. Lord Brahma is constantly engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord. In the Brahma Samhita, Brihadbhagavatamrita, we find an elaborate description of how Lord Brahma is worshipping the Supreme Lord constantly. Constantly. It is said there that he's always engaged in the worship of that form of Mahapurusha, a many-armed, a thousand-armed forms and thousand faces, and he's constantly worshipping this particular form. We don't know so much more about that form, but we know many references how Lord Brahma was always engaged in worship of the Supreme Lord. For example, when Indrajumna Maharaj went to invite Lord Brahma for the opening of the temple that he had constructed in the Satya Yuga, according to Skanda Purana, at that time Indrajumna Maharaj found Lord Brahma engaged in worship and he had to wait. There are other references. Maharaj Revata also had the power to visit Lord Brahma, and when he came to Lord Brahma's abode to ask advice for the marriage of his daughter, same thing, Lord Brahma was engaged in worship. It was not coincidence, because Lord Brahma is always engaged in worship of the Supreme Lord. When he's not engaged in work, in relation to universal affairs that are under his care. Lord Brahma is not only the one who fulfills the secondary creation, the Visarga, Atrasarga, Visargas Cha, the Visarga, the secondary creation. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada said Lord Brahma is the engineer of the universe. Krishna is actually, in his form of Mahavishnu, really the creator of the universe. And then Lord Brahma is the engineer. He assembles the different parts and then puts it all together. But basically the ingredients are all found there within the world of his lotus. But he's becoming aware of all this by the mercy of the Supreme Lord upon him, because he has pleased the Supreme Lord. Then the Supreme Lord manifests himself to Lord Brahma. We recall, now we are coming to the very end of this chapter, and basically these are the last few verses dealing with this pastime before, at least with these, with Lord Brahma performing his austerities and praying for created energy. It is described how, as Lord Brahma was performing his austerities and was getting the darshan of the Lord, that the Lord appeared before him, and then at one point the Lord gives him a handshake, which is like pretty nice, right? That the handshake finds its origin there, that the Lord also does it. It's sort of, what shall we say? It was a sign that yes, we are buddies actually, we are friends, right? We are very close. Yes, therefore that was the meaning of that handshake, to show the intimacy that exists between Lord Brahma and the Supreme Lord. Because it is like that. Lord Brahma is so close to the Supreme Lord, so much meditating on the desire of the Lord, and so eager to simply satisfy the Lord. Lord Brahma is extremely pious by nature. We, rather, on the contrary, are impious by nature. We are residents of the age of Kali and have taken a low birth, which basically means that plenty of sinful karma is piled up and stored within the heart, which gives us basically a sinful inclination. So this sinful inclination is strong and will always tend to emerge again in some sinful thought, some sinful desire, some sinful idea, some sinful attraction in the midst of devotional service. So in our case, it's a battle with our lower nature, and constantly again praying for the mercy of Mahaprabhu, practically appearing before him, saying, "We are crippled, I am just totally a hopeless case, please somehow or other save me, somehow or other don't kick me away, kindly give me shelter." And by that mentality, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu somehow or other invests us with transcendental tastes and energy by which we can rise above that otherwise natural propensity to be sinful. Lord Brahma is different. Lord Brahma is by nature extremely pious. We find in the Srimad Bhagavatam a description how the three modes of material nature combined in different combinations of trees, and that they multiply and become 9, then 27, then 81. This basically means that a person is a mixture. Generally speaking, our mentality is a mixture of the three modes of material nature. Who is in pure sattva gun? One might say sattva, sattva, sattva. No, even if there's, it may be sattva, sattva, rajas. Or, so if it is sattva, sattva, rajas, then one is basically pious, but there is some affliction of the mode of passion, sometimes. If it is raja, sattva, sattva, then one is basically passionate, but by behavior in the mode of goodness, one is controlling that passion. So we can think of ourselves like a nice mix. Our sattva is not due to our own credit, but the sattva that we are developing is due to the process of devotional service. Tada rajas tamo, what is it? Tada rajas tamo bhavakama lodhayasaye matai viritan viristiktam sattva prasidati. That through the process of devotional service, we are purified from the influence of ignorance and passion. But until we are in the state of purified goodness, until we are completely at the transcendental platform, these traces of material contamination will be there. In the case of Lord Brahma, due to previous pious activity, such traces of material contamination were very much minimized. Therefore, Lord Brahma, when he performed his austerity for his purification, became firmly fixed in the mode of Visuddha Sattva, in transcendental goodness, and became firmly fixed as a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as such, Lord Brahma is situated throughout his life. And even if we see some reference in scriptures to momentarily bewilderment, it is to be neglected. It is to be neglected. There is no problem at all. Even if we know that Lord Brahma for a few moments became slightly bewildered, we know that by his devotional service, he had purchased the Supreme Lord. And therefore we know that there was no chance that Lord Brahma could actually go astray. Because surely Lord Krishna would make an arrangement to save him from the illusory energy. This is truly the only way that one can conquer the material energy. Only by Krishna's mercy, only by satisfying Krishna, and by Krishna personally protecting us from the influence of
of Maya,
can we be saved? Otherwise,
no, not by the strength of austerity, not by the strength of some great power that we have built up by our service, not by our own credits.
Sometimes we are getting in the mood and we want benefits and we just do a Govardhan Parikrama and we take bath in holy tanks of water and we pray and we do so many things for getting so many blessings. And we can, of course, keep a record, you know, what we did in a lifetime. 25 Govardhan Parikramas, 3 baths in Radhakund, hope it was okay. And like this, one can have a whole, and write it all down in a notebook and bring that as his passport, as a passport to the gates of the spiritual world. And just, say, yes, here's my visa. But it is still not sure. It is still not sure if in spite of that visa, one will be let in. They may look at it and say, well, this visa will not do. It is a fact. Because entrance in the spiritual world is ultimately attained through the mercy of the Supreme Lord, and by no other means. Simply because Krishna, somehow or other, says, all right, come in. Okay. Yes. Yes, you can stay in my company. All right. I'll accept you. Only then, when Krishna accepts us. And we never know when Krishna will accept us. One cannot say, and now I have copied the vrat of Haridas Thakur and I daily chanted 300,000 names for about 10 years, and then, as I have completed the vrat of 1 billion names, then, whoop, it will happen. Praying. My eyes will be transformed, and love of God will manifest. Love of God is a gift. It is a gift of Krishna. Love for Krishna is a gift of Krishna. So even for that, we are totally dependent on the Supreme Lord. So Lord Brahma greatly satisfied Lord Krishna. And Lord Brahma became the intimate, is the intimate associate of Lord Krishna. And Lord Brahma, as the intimate instrument of Krishna, is simply preoccupied in fulfilling his will. Constantly. But, still, it is very interesting to read a famous prayer from the Brihad Vamana Purana, where Lord Brahma is stating that I have prayed, he said, I have performed austerities for 60,000 years trying to understand the mood of the gopis, of, or the love of the gopis of Vrindavan. And still, I could not understand after 60,000 years of performing austerity. I failed. I could not understand. That is also significant. Because even the greatest austerity is still not adequate. Still not adequate. The satisfaction of the Lord, that is the only meditation. And that is the meditation of the gopis. That is their outstanding quality. The satisfaction of Krishna. Somehow or other, everything, their whole being for the satisfaction of Krishna. Nothing, no concern for themselves. Their own reputation, mud, spoiled, finished, socially outcast, virtually speaking. Chaste girls in a Vedic setting, going out alone at night, meeting some young boy in the forest. Finished, completely finished. Reputation gone. Anyway, they didn't care. Married girls, even worse.
that. Married girls, can you imagine the shame?
They didn't care. They didn't care for anything, not for their own comfort. The famous Narada Muni and the dust and the headache and the dust of the feet. You young girls, don't you know that if you give the dust of your feet, that you will go to hell? So right, Krishna's headache will be cured. That example Srila Prabhupada gave many times as the example of their service attitude. So this particular verse is focusing on service attitude, on giving everything for the satisfaction of Krishna. How difficult that is for those who have taken a sinful birth. How difficult it is, what a struggle it is, how difficult it is to serve. The mind, even while we are serving, the mind is reluctant. I don't really want to serve. Do I have to?
How long do I have to serve? We are hoping that after a while comes the reward. How long until I get a reward? When will I get something? No, it will never stop. Never.
It goes on forever.
Yes. And it's not only does it go on forever, it increases. Because the nature of devotional service is that actually the service that we are doing today, it hardly counts as service. In one sense, it hardly counts as service. Actually, it is only the preparation for the service that we're going to do tomorrow. Yeah. Today, it's not even a real service. It's just preparation. Flexing on a little exercise for the real service that we will do tomorrow. And that service also will only be the preparation for the next real service that we will be doing. So really, we're still preparing, only preparing, eternally preparing for some real service. Because how can we render some real service to Krishna? That is not so easy. But still, we take it very serious today. This is my service. I must do this service. I must somehow or other give everything in this service. But we are attached to Krishna and to pleasing Krishna. Not to the service alone. We had one devotee in Vrindavan who was the Sankirtan leader, and he used to sit in the storeroom, the book go down, the storeroom where all the books were kept, and he had the seat of a Sankirtan bus, and then he used to sit on that Sankirtan bus seat, and he would preach to the Sankirtan devotees. So he was the Sankirtan Acharya, virtually speaking, right? He was not just a Sankirtan leader, he was really like a Sankirtan Acharya. And he was senior, so it was befitting. And he was preaching nicely. And sometimes on an odd day, once a week or so, he would cook one offering for the deities, just to keep a little bit of connection. So, then at one point, our long-standing deity cook, who had, started 1 year after the installation of the deities, and then just continued cooking all the offerings, everything, who just cooked everything, Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, who is now quite ill and staying in his room in Vrindavan, but made it into a very nice bhajan kutir. And he used to cook all the offerings, and then when he stopped due to old age, that was a drama. So we had to find someone, and the only one that seemed right was that Sankirtan leader. Right? So I broke the news to him, because I was the manager in those days. So I broke the news to him, and he didn't hesitate for a moment. Not for a moment. Immediately he said, "Oh yes, oh yes, yes. Thank you so much.
that you're allowing me to serve.
That never goes like, but what about my, you know, my yes, what about all my followers? You know, what will happen with the Sangatan devotees? And it just all went on. Right?
And I could see, this is actually the real spirit. The spirit is simply the satisfaction of Krishna. Right? Nothing else. The satisfaction of Krishna. So, it's not easy to come to this point of being a servant, of being just concerned with the satisfaction of Krishna. Just like Govinda. Govinda was the personal servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Govinda was constantly thinking about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was constantly meditating about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was constantly thinking as to what is the next thing that he might need, that what is the next thing that he will require. And then he already arranged it, that it was there, just in case. So there was not even a need for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to ask. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would simply sort of glance in one direction, and boom, Govinda already arranged it. And Govinda already offered things automatically, understanding the need of the situation. So Govinda was just never thinking of himself. Never ever. He was constantly just only living for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was virtually speaking like his own personality was just completely, well, you could say, on a low burner. There was nothing for himself, nothing. Everything was simply what are the needs of the Lord. Constantly thinking like that. There was no such thing as developing any of his personal ideas, his personal creativity, his personal desires, the service that he would like to do, and, you know, his dream, and all these things. No, nothing. Just simply. And he just stayed like that. Stayed like that, as the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, Govinda became the emblem of a servant, the embodiment of a servant, one who is constantly just focused on the need of the Supreme Lord. So to satisfy the Supreme Lord is not just a simple thing. To satisfy the Supreme Lord means to focus. It means a tremendous focus. It means that really, we do everything we can, everything we can conceive that is required for the Lord. So we must expand. That is why devotional service must expand. Because if we see something we can do for the Lord, then when we do it, then we'll see more. And we see some big task that we could do for Krishna, for His pleasure, we do it. Then we see something bigger. That's every time like that. And then you try and do that, and then we'll still see something bigger. It is the amazing nature of serving Krishna. There is no limit to what can be done for Krishna. And in this way we're seeing that the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are described as being so extraordinary that each one of them could deliver an entire universe. Each one of them had the potency to deliver an entire universe. So, by serving the Supreme Lord, one becomes surcharged. One becomes surcharged with transcendental power. It is said that one becomes empowered with the chit and the anant. Potency. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabhava Vasya commentary to the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes empowerment. And he describes how empowerment basically means that one becomes empowered with these two potencies, the chit potency and the anand potency, or the knowledge potency and the anand potency, the happiness. Because these two things go hand in hand. As we understand the nature of Krishna, the tattva of Krishna, in a deeper way, in a more complete way,
We will be more able to serve Krishna. And as we will serve Him in a more complete way, we will realize greater and greater happiness. And on the strength of that happiness, our preaching becomes potent. Because Srila Prabhupada said that. He said, preaching is very easy. Just show people how happy you are. Very easy. Very easy. Very easy. And in this way, we see that simply because we are not absorbed in satisfying Krishna, therefore we are not satisfied. To the degree that we are not absorbed in satisfying Krishna, we are not satisfied. And no matter how much, no matter what kind of behavior we display, no matter how fired up we act, no matter how high we jump in the kirtan, no matter how far we go in showing enthusiasm in devotional activities, if we are to that extent that we are holding back, to that extent that our whole being is not dedicated to satisfying Krishna, to that extent we will not be satisfied. That is our position. So therefore, this meditation to somehow or other act for the satisfaction of Krishna has to be in the forefront of our mind. Then, and that will be my last statement, then if this satisfaction is Krishna's satisfaction, is in the forefront of our mind as a constant meditation, then the next thing is that we will fall short. We will just fall short. We will somehow or other realize it. Each time again, I failed again. Again, I actually didn't give everything to satisfy Krishna. Again, I failed again. We fall short again and again. But still we try. And so then at the end, there's only the mercy of the Lord. And this is called asabandha. That one is feeling that I'm falling short. I failed to actually dedicate everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. But still I hope that He will be kind to me. Because I am... He is very merciful. What can I say? It's nothing to do with me. It's everything to do with Krishna. Krishna is so kind. Therefore, I have hope against hope that Krishna somehow or other will save me. And that gives us the strength to go on and to do it again and to again try to give everything. And each day again, we may fail. Each day again, our rounds are not satisfactory. Each day again could have been better. Each day again could have been more humble. Each day again, so many mistakes. But in spite of that, we hope that in spite of our poor offering, the Lord is still going to be satisfied and still going to give us the mercy. And that is how we carry on in devotional service. Even if sometimes there are ugly failures, even if there would be ugly failures, we'll never stop. We'll never stop. We can never stop. Because as long as you keep on going, there is hope that we'll get the mercy of Krishna, that Krishna will be satisfied. Okay, I'll stop with that. Thank you very much. Any questions? Any comments?
Devi Gods also, one time they tried to control the universe because they got their post in the beginning, but they couldn't do anything. They also went to Krishna and said, "Oh, you're so nice, you're so beautiful, you're so powerful, please be satisfied and make the whole thing work. And then Krishna entered the elements and made the whole thing work. And my question is, the Prabhupada says that Brahma is Tikavagya. And how that goes with the point that he gets inside of somebody?
That he gets what?
That he gets under the influence of Maya.
Yeah, Tikavagya is a material quality, not a spiritual quality. To know past, present and future is a blessing of the Supreme Lord, but even if one is on such a platform, one can still fall prey to the material energy. And then one is not Tikavagya anymore. In other words, all power, we have no power at all. Even Lord Brahma is only an infinitesimal jiva, atomic in size, who has been very much empowered by the Supreme Lord. But that great, great material power, it can be reduced in a second. So as soon as the living being begins to contemplate his personal satisfaction instead of the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, immediately reduced. We become reduced. Yeah. Our facility becomes reduced. Purna musikabhav, be a mouse again. Immediately, be a mouse again. Yes. So this happens to us also, again and again. We are becoming mouse again. Yeah. What to do? This is, and still, in spite of our, I mean, for us, mouse is already quite something. You know. We're trotting around like, well, I'm quite a mouse here, you know. But we can be reduced to something even less significant than mouse. Right? Like Krishna Dasgupta Goswami said, worm in stool. Right? I'm just a worm in stool. Everyone who sees me loses his highest grades. Right? Therefore, Lord Nityananda, right? Somehow or other, how amazing it is that Lord Nityananda gave me his mercy. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami continues. So that is our point. Nityananda. We have to turn for that mercy. How? By trying to satisfy Krishna. Because Lord Nityananda is trying to satisfy Krishna. And if we try to satisfy Krishna, we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So we can look at Lord Brahma, we can look at the demigods, and we learn from Lord Brahma, and we learn from the demigods. But then, we have to look at ourselves, and realize that we are in a different boat. We are in a different position. Right? Our only hope is the mercy of Lord Nityananda. That we have to remember. Even while we study Srimad Bhagavatam, still, we do that by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. With the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we're taking the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam, implementing it in our life with the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Everything with the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Then maybe we'll be accepted. Poor as we are in the devotion.
I'd like to know how to comprehend that when we say that Lord will be merciful to me, Lord will save me, how to comprehend that is in the heart of reverence or
that is an awe and reverence?
Awe and reverence or just out of Raga Loka, how do we comprehend that? Which part of it?
If we have this mood, the Lord will save me, and how one can pray to the Lord in a mood of awe and reverence, or how one can pray in a spontaneous mood to the Lord? Well, if we have this mood, the Lord will save me, in awe and reverence, it means that we have read in the scriptures, heard from the Supreme Lord, the Lord will save me, and therefore we are convinced that, yes, if I simply do my duty, then it must be done, because it says in this verse. But when we become more spontaneous in our devotional service, then we live in our relationship with Krishna. Then day by day, our mood changes, and of all the personalities that we are associating with, Krishna is by far the most important. And therefore our relationship with Krishna begins to take over all other relationships, and we start thinking of Krishna all day. And we're just thinking of Krishna. And so in this way, naturally at that stage, when we remember Krishna, think, surely Krishna will not forget me. He won't forget me. He'll surely save me. Right? Then it becomes Raganuga. Then it starts to happen in the relationship with Krishna. Whereas in Vaidhi Bhakti, it goes through the injunctions of the scripture. We have heard from the scripture, it says, and we have faith in the scripture. So we are strictly trying to follow the scripture, take shelter of the scripture, and so on. But we see that the Raganuga devotees go beyond scripture and yet are not sinful, not deviating from the standards of the scripture. They naturally follow the standards of the scripture, but they're thinking about Krishna. They're always thinking about Krishna, Krishna. And then scripture also, right? To enhance what Krishna says. It's not that they ignore scripture or give up scripture, because they relish scripture as being full of nectar. No? But for the devotee and Vaidhi Bhakti, it is scripture is tells me my duty. It's my duty to serve Krishna. I hate it, but it's my duty. Kind of thing. Well, sometimes I like it, but mostly I don't. It's my duty.
It would seem that Lord Brahma is in a relationship of Dasya Ras with the Lord because of his humongous responsibility in creation. However, you're suggesting that because of that handshake there was some fraternity there, some friendship as well.
Yes, I think so. So if we rhyme the two, seeing that Lord Brahma is having, that there is an element of awe and reverence. After all, Lord Brahma goes to the ocean of milk and is communicating with the Lord in telepathically. Of course, he's worshipping his thousand-armed Mahavarush there also, Briya Bhaktamrita says. But constantly feeding his thousand mouths, etc. But still, there's an element of awe and reverence there, the majesty of the Lord. So there is some Aishwarya, definitely. But also there is an element of camaraderie and friendship. So therefore, it appears that we would speak about Gauravasaka. Gauravasaka is the friendship which is touched by awe and reverence. Gauravasaka. So if there is Saka, and then it is Gauravasaka. There is awe and reverence in this case. Yeah. That's what it appears to be looking at it.
Friendship touched by awe and reverence.
Yes, friendship touched by awe and reverence. Gauravasaka. Yes.
Following the footsteps of the devotee, is it that what we mean by serving the devotee and the devotee?
Yes. Following the footstep of the devotee, serving the devotee is essential. Because how can we serve Krishna? Lord Brahma was getting direct instructions of Krishna. But even later, when Lord Brahma, accompanied by the demigods, went to the ocean of milk, Lord Brahma heard the instruction of the Supreme Lord, not the demigods. And those are the demigods. What to speak of us, right? In our mouse-like condition, what can we know about Krishna, and what can we see? Eh? We are on the ground, and everything looks big to us. Because we are very small-minded, everything here in this world looks very big and very important, and therefore we're so overwhelmed by all these material things, how can we see Krishna? But we can see the Vaishnava. So we're thinking that today is my great fortune, because today the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared in front of me in the form of his devotee. Now I can serve him. So it is like that.
That is how we assert the devotee. So we give everything, as much as we would give to Krishna, we give to Krishna's devotee. We must serve with the same eagerness. And of course we cannot do that, because our mind is telling us like, well, you know, I'll serve the devotee, and I'll give him 2 stars, but Krishna gets 5 stars, you know? Okay? That's like, I'm not gonna give the same importance to the devotee as I'm giving to Krishna. And because of that, and as much as we give less to the devotee than we would give to Krishna, that's the distance that will be there between us and Krishna. But if we start treating the devotees with as much service attitude as we're dedicating towards Krishna, then the distance becomes covered. So we go through the devotees. And that's why we go to Lord Nityananda, because Lord Nityananda is a devotee. He is Sevak Bhagavan. Lord Chaitanya is Sevya Bhagavan. He is the Lord who is served. Lord Nityananda is the servitor personality of Godhead. And he is the original servant. Therefore he is Adiguru, the original spiritual master. He is the original servant. Therefore in the cyclic succession coming down from Nityananda, we're serving the Vaishnavas. And Prabhupada wrote in one letter that I am so fortunate because the Lord sent me so many gurus, talking about his disciples, in the form of my disciples. So the spirit that... And how can one think like that? And say, how can one think like that? Well, everyone has his own unique way of serving Krishna. Every devotee has a specific precious quality by which that devotee is somehow or other surrendering to Krishna. And by seeing that, we can learn. We see how that devotee does it, we can then do it also. In this way, every devotee is actually a spiritual master, even if they have some problems, some this, some that, a false ego as big as a house, doesn't matter, they still have some unique quality of service that we can learn. So in this way one can appreciate every devotee as a spiritual master and as being most worthy of service. Okay, we are finished. Thank you very much. Shri